My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you very much. In a 1930 Radio Times, there was a reference to the Wireless Ladies Chorus under Dr. Adrian Bolt. I suppose it's what's known as being under the doctor. Under me and the chairman sense our four familiar folk, John Amos and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Strange sounds of one kind or another are the concern of this opening round. John, I quote, "How horrible is the harpsichord in a large concert hall, or for that matter, under any conditions?" John, to continue the quotation, "The jingle jangle of tinny sound produces a jarring effect. We might just as well use mandolins or banjos." Whose testy but well-known views were those?
Oh, well, what about Arnold Bax?
No, no, no. Shall I give you a clue?
Oh, do.
Timber! Ooh!
Then it might be Sir Henry J. Wood.
Yes, in his autobiography. It's on page 289.
Mind you, most of the harpsichords used then were pretty puny little specimens, and it wasn't until van der Landowska came along with an enormous playel with an iron frame, which a harpsichord doesn't usually have, that people suddenly realised that it might be a possible instrument to listen to.
Yeah, indeed. True enough. That sonata by Arne was played on that little bit of record by George Malcolm. Frank, a rather curious singing voice, or rather speaking voice, over music.
"Pass them pasteboards for me to shovel every time before you deal. Let me riffle. Anything wrong, I want to see. I mean, you always ain't gonna keep playing the game now, according to that Mr. Harley. You all gonna play this game according to me. Henry, if you break the seal on that new deck of bicycles, we'll go on from there. Yeah, 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 yeah."
Yeah, Phil Harris, Dr.
Phil Harris, that's right. Talking about that Mr. Hoyley, or Hoyle, presumably some American games man. Can you give Mr. Hoyle a date, Frank, or a period?
No, I'm rather busy this week, but he was... Mr. Harris was referring to Edmund Hoyle, who was an English teacher of whist in the early part of the 18th century.
Yes, as long ago as that.
He was the first man to write a scientific study of whist, which then passed... The thing about why that, I think that Hoyle's name is used in the song in America is that in the 19th century they used Hoyle as any book with rules about card games.
Oh,
Harry
really?
Or Hoyle, yes.
Really?
It wasn't specific, it came from Hoyle,
yeah.
But he got lost.
His famous book on whist, 1742. I was amazed to find it as early as that. I didn't know.
The first edition was a guinea, and it rapidly went into a second, which was 2 shillings.
Yes. Ian, who is this singing San Francisco's favourite song?
"I left my heart in San Francisco, high on a hill. It calls to me to be well, little cable cars. Climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care."
It's a computer.
You know who he is?
I would hazard a guess and say that it was Mike O'Chip.
Yes. A very good answer indeed. It was Microchip. It was a computer singing "I Left My Heart in San Francisco," an American computer. Of course,
some of it sounded quite human. Yes. It's just those sort of sustained notes that give it away.
Yes. And the American accent is nice. You see, the word cars for us is simple, but he had to sing cars, didn't he, with a great rounding of the R. The computer, yes. Dennis, just beside your left ear is a rather elderly wooden box inside which hundreds of wires are stretched at great tension, under about 32 tons of tension, actually.
Steve, we're all under tension. All 32 right, tons is a good day for us. Yeah.
You're right, are you? Yeah. At a guess, how many strings are there in this piano?
Well, there's 634 in a piano.
Why is that? How do you arrive at that?
Well, because that's how many strings there are in a piano.
Not on this one.
No. Joseph Cooper's got 634.
Dennis, it's a trick one. It's one, which is why I'm back with the four.
That would be a lovely
idea.
They
gave you the 200-string piano, then, did they?
Yeah, 220. Round about 220, because some notes have, like, that one has one string, and some in the middle have two, and some in the top have three strings per note.
I shall treasure that information.
Yeah. Got it, actually, didn't he? I turned to the piano for 8 bars of a song about love. We have a round of love of songs about love affairs, various periods. Oh. John, whose love affair was this?
It's from Shakespeare.
Yes, marvelous syncopations. Yeah.
Beatrice et Bénédict.
Bénédict, yes.
It is by Hector Berlioz.
Berlioz, yes, based on Much Ado About Nothing. Right. Frank, reverting to that tune I was playing just now. Which couples are mentioned at that point, and what were their surnames? Those famous lovers.
Two of them only had one name each. Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve.
Yes, that's right.
No, Mrs. Adam and Miss Eve, wouldn't it? And the others, before I saw the film, when I was a child, I was called Scarlet and Red. And then I saw Gone with the Wind and realised it was Scarlet and Red.
Yes. And their surnames, Scarlet...
Butler. Scarlet O'Hara.
O'Hara and Rhett Butler.
And Rhett Butler, yes. Mr. and Mrs. Butler.
Yes. Eventually. Yeah. Ian, the scene is a Mediterranean harbour. Who is singing? Singing. Character or the singer, either would do.
Yes, I think it's Dido, is it not?
Yes, it's Dido at Carthage, that's right, of Aeneas fame. The singer, did you recognise her?
Was it...
You've worked with her, you've recorded with her.
Yes, it was Victoria Donosankovic.
Donosankovic, yes, it was indeed. Dennis, bearing in mind the verse of a song that later goes...
It was Swell, Isabel, Swell.
No.
Oh.
My question is, what did Abelard say to Eloise?
That's the line after. As Columbus announced when he knew he was bounced, it was Swell, Isabel, Swell. As
Abelard said to
something
Eloise,
about drop me a line, please.
Yes, don't forget to drop a line to me, please. Yes. That's good enough. Here's a voice and a half, an Italian or I'm a Dutchman. John, tell me who he is, and more or less what it is that the song is saying. Vivere senza malinconia, vivere senza più gelosia, senza rimpianti, senza mai più conoscere cos'è l'amore, cogliere il più bel fiore della vita e far tacere il cuore. That last phrase comes in every Italian song of any memorability, doesn't it? The singer... Oh, you must know that voice.
Well, you always play Placido Domingo these days.
Except today.
Except today when it's an Italian singer.
Try Carlo Ponti.
No, I'm not going to give it. You're going to sacrifice.
Fazzoletti.
No, it's Pavarotti, Luciano
Pavarotti.
Pavarotti it was.
And what he's singing about is that he really prefers his gnocchi with patate and not semolina.
Give that man one quarter of a mark, Mary. One quarter of a mark. He's singing to live without jealousy, no regrets, with no more worries about love. Frank, here's Pavarotti again, this time singing to a girl.
Si.
Thanks, Ian.
Amore sentiere, ora gradita, senza il tuo ben, dimmi come mai, florita, purezza e fiore, dolce infinita, o mia Lolita, vieni all'amore.
The torments that only Lolita can soothe. I don't quite know what question to ask you about that. How about the names of a Russian author and an American professor? How about that?
Russian author Ernest Hemingway, American professor Fritz Liebert of Harvard University.
Very nice too. I've put down here, if he likes, Tolstoy and Professor Einstein. But actually, Nabokov and Professor Humbert was the ones I had in mind.
Yes, question of phrasing the question, really.
Not really. Question of answering it. Let's press on.
Can I resign?
What a stick.
My surrender.
Did I? Yes. The old red duster. Ian, here's Pavarotti singing a fairly familiar verse. Can you pick up when he stops the enormously familiar chorus?
Da quel giorno che t'ho conosciuto, o fanciulla di questo mio cor, speme pace per te ho perduto, perché t'amo d'un immenso amor. Fra le belle tu sei la più bella, fra le rose sei tu la più fine. Tu del ciel sei brillante mia stella, ed in terra divina beltà. Tu lovely black eyes, tu lovely black eyes, only for telling a man he was wrong, tu lovely black eyes.
That was the only song my father ever taught me.
Didn't that first song have an English version, Steve?
Yes.
Rosalie, wasn't it?
Dennis, those Pavarotti songs, all of these, come from an LP record he made, which was arranged and conducted by a very well-known American composer and songwriter. He put his personal stamp rather neatly on the introduction to one of Pavarotti's songs.
In un vecchio palco della Scala, nel gennaio del 93, spettacolo di gala, signore in décolleté, discese da un romantico
coupé. He goes in for some very good partnerships now, doesn't he?
Yes,
Henry
doesn't
Mancini.
He has a good time. Henry Mancini.
Galway, James Galway. Yes.
And the musical reference was to...
To Pink Panther, yes.
In years gone by, I must have played the piano for hundreds, if not thousands, of auditions. That terrible moment, I always think, that a hopeful singer scarcely begun a song, when the auditioner cuts in, usually over a loudspeaker, and gets rid of them. This kind of thing.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Terrible, though. Sometimes they don't even get that far. See if you can identify the song as this anonymous hopeful goes from audition to audition, cut off in his prime at every one. John.
The way you wear your...
Thank you, Mr. Parsons. Thank you.
You know what the song was, John?
They can't take that away from me.
They did.
Yes.
Ladies and the Blunny to help you out with recordings.
It's your turn now, Frank.
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Didn't hear anything.
He's saying, I've grown a cuss.
Oh, Tud, Tum.
Yes, Tum. It's the Tum song.
Tummed to your face.
To her face.
We didn't take him here, as I threw a custard in her face.
Yes, that's right.
I threw a custard in her face.
Ian, your turn.
Do not trust him.
Thank you, Mr. Todd. We'll write to you.
The title, do you know the title of the song?
I always thought that was what it was called.
Not really, no. It's called the Something's Warning. Something. Yes.
Oh, the Gypsy's Warning.
The Gypsy's Warning, that's right, yes. And there's another kind of association for yours in my memory. Anyway, Dennis, here's yours.
In some secluded room.
Thank you.
That'd be a nice title for a thriller. Dead Rendezvous.
Yes,
Overlooks the Avenue. Cocktails for Two.
Yes, the famous Spike Jones record. Mm. I really can't.
It depends, really, whether the auditions are commercial or whether you really want to be nice to the people. I always found when people came to the summer school and auditioned for a masterclass, the better they were, the quicker we stopped them. I mean, if somebody could obviously play, you know, you'd say, thank you very much. If they were dreadful, you'd have to hear 5 minutes in order to be nice to them.
Yes. At this sort of level, you know after this length whether the singer's going to be any good or not.
Yeah, they used to do concert party auditions in around about spring, all along Shaftesbury Avenue, when there were hundreds of concert parties. And the lady wrote to me and told me that she was a sort of soubrette type, and she used to come down from, she lived up north, come down to London, and then just simply go to every audition, and they were always held in all the West End theatres along Shaftesbury Avenue. And she saw a queue one day, and she got onto it with all her music on, got in, put her dots up in front of the pianist, and said, just do a chorus. And she did, of course, this bright song, and then she advanced the footlights and said, would you like to see the dance? And they said, not really, we're auditioning for Grand Opera.
There used to be a pro story of the lady at one of these sort of summer show auditions coming out and starting this tea for two and two for tea and go, and they said yes, thank you, and she carried on and they said, please stop, you've got the job. And she said, oh no, I only do auditions.
I'm going to ask our tame auditioner to go around just quickly once again, because you probably guessed who it was did the singing on these recordings. Anyway, John, here's one for you again.
Thank you.
The song being...
Katie.
Thank you. Frank, our anonymous friend once tried his hand at a monologue.
It's a curtained evening.
Thank you, Mr. Wormwood. Thank you.
Title of the monologue.
Occurred on the evening of Waterloo.
Waterloo.
The troops will line upon parade.
And it's Sam.
Yes,
Pickle.
Dan Muskin. Thank you very much. Yes.
He knocked it down. He'll pick it up. Boy, it stays where it is. On.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Ian, our friend didn't last long with one of your songs.
By the old boy.
We'll write to you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I was the pianist, and I know how it feels. That's right.
He took the wrong fork on the road to Manfred.
Right, he did. And finally, our anonymous friend Pete Atkin, Dennis, in a big, big song for you to identify.
The end is near.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's very good. He did it his way.
He couldn't resist that one. Yes, he did it. He did it his way, indeed.
It's your favourite song, isn't
it? He ended up, got the job. Yeah. There are five tunes for the price of four in our closing minutes this week. One each for my colleagues, and an extra one because I can't resist playing just a touch of bossa nova to get things moving.
tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba, the swing's so cool, it sways so gentle, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, oh, oh. But I watch her so sadly. How can I tell her I love her? Yes, I would give my heart gladly, but each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, I smile. She doesn't see. She doesn't see. She doesn't see.
Frank's Girl from Ipanema, and before that, a few bars from me of Wave by the same composer, Antonio Carlos Jobim. John has a song about a much loved city, and a chord to start him off.
The place isn't everybody's cup of tea. Often you have visitors complying. Noisy, smoky city, but it seems to me there is a magic in the fog and the rain. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think of her wherever I go. I get a funny feeling inside of me just walking up and down. But it's parce que je suis londonien, que j'aimerais Londres vivre.
And so to an Irving Berlin song of 1928 for Dennis.
Give the blues a chase, find a sunny place, go and paint your face with sunshine, pay your doctor's bills, throw away the pills, you can cure your ills with sunshine. Why don't you take your teardrops one by one before it gets too late? Hang them all out in the sun, and they'll evaporate when the troubles start pounding at your heart. Rub the injured part with sunshine.
Are you feeling a bit autumnal? If so, this Kurt Vile song will really finish you off. Lovely song, Ian.
But it's a long, long while from May to December, and the days grow short when you reach September. And the autumn wind turns the leaves to flame, and I haven't got time for the waiting game. For the days dwindle down to a precious few. Precious days.
we've enjoyed spending this near half hour with you. The quiz part of it, if you care, was won by Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.